Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Dan McNeil, Danny Parkins. Afternoons on the Score.
McNeil and Boers reunited.
There's a reason it was called the baby boom. There's a hell of a lot of us still around.
More than ever. More than ever. I mean, I'm not sure.
How could it be more than ever?
All right, you got me forever on that one. All right. I don't care.
Glenn Casper.
Terry, I don't know how many more times you and I will be on the air together, but just thanks for everything over the years. And just great hearing you back on the air.
Dan Plesac.
Man, this is like a blast from the past. 93 and 94, I was pitching lousy. And then there's like friends and family. Every day I'm sitting down there by the bullpen. Somebody's coming by. Hey, remember me, Bob? I'm on what you want, Roma's pizza. I've got like a 9.6 ERA. I don't give a about Roma's pizza right now. You know what I mean?
Cleveland Mike.
This is an occasion. This is great. This is happy time.
Ron Coomer.
I'm sitting out on a boat on Lake Minnetonka with all of my friends, and we are really enjoying All-Star break. Let's put it that way.
I got you.
He's Dan Patrick.
How are you, my friend?
That's quality radio right there. That's quality radio.
Hey, I'm just doing the best I can. I'm old.
Yeah.
There's a reason why it's still not on the air.
Duncan from Wonder Lake.
Danny, Terry, you guys were the heavy fuel that kept me running cool.
Dave Wattstead joining us.
The only reason I did that, obviously, my man Mitch over there.
Yeah, he pays you. That's why.
No. When I was at the Bears and things got really rough at the end, you guys hung in there as long as anybody did in this city trying to give me and our coaches and our team a chance. And I'll never forget that.
Terry, I love you, man. It was fun for 3 days. I really enjoy it and hope you'll come back and do this again sometime.
I will. I love you back. And the most important thing isn't that we can still do a show together. It's that our friendship will always be there. I mean, that to me is more important than anything we can do on the air. Partnerships sometimes don't end well, but the best part of it is that I know that we're always going to remain friends.
Sosa's home run, a towering line drive.
I can picture y'all in the shower soaping up. Hey, we got to get this thing down on vinyl, huh?
Hey, easy, pal.
Yo, saddle up, lock and load.
The McNeil and Parkin Show, afternoons 1 to 6 on 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago's sports station.
Well done, Chris Tannehill. That sort of encapsulates almost 8 years of Terry and my partnership.
And that was only the last 3 days.
Yeah, that's great. That's all you need to know.
There's so much to take away just from the open right there, from the Cleveland Mike and learning about Cleveland Mike signing autographs. That was fascinating to me. Wani sounds like he's doing a Wani impression.
Like
every time he says anything, the Bears, I got a knee, I was on a table looking at the scene. Like, he sounds like he is doing the greatest Wani impression of all time,
is how Wani he is. Yeah, that might be because he's one of the easier guys to impersonate.
Probably.
People try to impersonate Ozzy.
The Bears.
That's not easy.
No. You do an okay Ozzy, though.
My Ozzy is Tony Montana.
Okay.
Al Pacino is
Tony
Montana.
It's an impression.
Yes, really. Oh, Frank Thomas was so much better.
No, that sounded nothing like Ozzy.
Yeah.
That one wasn't your finest Ozzy work. Not necessarily the one I should have promoted up for you.
He's already dead.
This hour being brought to you by St. Charles Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, Ram. But it was a fun 3 days. Fun. I wasn't all in on sports radio when you guys were together. So my memories of you came later on when you went to ESPN, did the Mac Yurko and Harry thing. My thoughts on Terry, my memory of Terry was with Dan Bernstein. So hearing you two together was, it's like I got a trip to the 90s sports radio that I never really had sat through a whole lot when I was about 10 or so.
Okay, and after 3 days of it, you ready to get back to 2018?
Oh, that's a good time for All-Star Week, and it's the Cubs and Cardinals tonight. Got to break that down. The Bears getting going today in Bourbonnais. Yeah, it's time to get with the times. No, it was fun for those 3 days. It was a damn good time, and, I mean, obviously, the outpour that you guys got call-wise, text-wise, access to the McNeil and Parkins Twitter account, seeing old scoreheads from the early 90s tweeting, oh, I haven't sent this, and just wanted to say, hey, love this. It was cool to see.
It's very satisfying, and thank you everybody who reached out or who tweeted, who posted, who Instagrammed, who texted. Thank you so much. And thank you for listening, even if you did none of those things. You all right?
I'm great.
Yeah, okay.
Why? Do I seem okay?
You're jumpier than usual.
Really?
Yeah, when we did this last Thursday, last Thursday or Friday?
I think Friday.
You were as relaxed as the day is long. And I don't remember you bouncing all over the
head.
Are you over-caffeinated today?
Oh, I'm loaded on coffee.
Are you nervous?
I think I've had like three full things of that big thing of coffee. So part of it, maybe. But no.
You don't feel like, you know, Terry being here for 3 days puts undue pressure on you or anything like that?
That's a good point, Mac.
Yeah. Oh, no. Terry being around. I mean, and speaking to Terry of how much he wants to do this every day, that really made me think that Terry's going to be coming back full time.
I heard Terry wants to get back into being a producer.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
He's going to go back and sabotage other shows by finding tape?
That's what I heard.
Yeah.
We need Terry to pull all the Murph drops is what we're going to need.
His true passion in life, he always said, is pulling audio. Yeah.
Pulling audio, especially if it involves Murph. No, I'm fine.
Okay.
I'm good.
Yeah, because this
should I'm not bringing off that vibe, then...
No, you sound good. You've stumbled a few times, and we all do,
well,
but just you're gesticulating, and you're bouncing, and I didn't notice any of that on Friday. So I just want to make sure you realize this is not that important.
Oh, trust me, I'm aware.
Okay.
Of all things that are going on in the world today, this being the most important, this is about the furthest thing from.
Yeah, I mean, yes. Okay, good. I just want to make sure. And I want to, you know, something in the open
Not
there.
Not important, got it.
Yeah. It's remarkable that it took as long as it did. We're hearing Plesak talk about how fans used to come by the bullpen and ask him about pizza. It's shocking it lasted as long as it did before they moved the bullpen away from fans. Because I remember 20 years ago when I had several friends in the Cubs bullpen, and I did it in the fourth inning. And Donnie Wengert was going fine that day when I had seats in aisle 7. So there was no reason for anybody to get up in Jim Riggleman's bullpen. But I stopped by the bullpen and gave Rod Beck, Terry Mulholland, and Terry Adams
That's my guy.
McNeil and Boers t-shirts and Score t-shirts because they were regulars on the show. This is during the game. That never should have happened. I was a fan. I wasn't there with a media credential.
Well, you thought they would have probably sped things up in the process to get rid of the bullpens down the outfield line when the whole Dodgers – what year was the Dodgers brawl in right field? When the fan
when Chad Kruder got his cap stolen.
Yeah, and that ended up going into the stands. What year was that? Late 90s, early 2000s?
I think it was the early, I think it was the aughts.
You would have thought that that would have been the event that was needed to be like, you know what, maybe this isn't a great idea.
Right.
Not so much that, I mean, no one wants a Boers and McNeil t-shirt.
Mac,
I mean, that's a travesty in itself.
How'd you ever get past those ushers down there to get them those shirts?
I'm glad you said that, and I'll tell you why. I forgot to mention this yesterday with Terry sitting right next to me. When Danny mentioned this Monday, Plesak. Because this is when it happened, when Plesak got torched by the legendary Jim Tatum for a home run that landed 2 days later. Terry said to an usher at Wrigley Field, and she was a very nice woman. She answered his question. His question was, how dark was it when Gabby Hartnett hit that home run? That's the essence of Terry Boers.
So right that's
there.
Where it came from.
Yeah.
Because there was at one point when you and I were at a spring training game that you nudged me, pointing to somebody sitting in front of us.
You know, he remembers Tris Speaker.
Can you ask him to describe what it was like when Gabby Hartnett hit the homer in the clubhouse?
Uh-huh. That's great.
I didn't know that was a Boersism. I didn't know he originated that.
I've stolen most of his act.
That's all good. It's Dan McNeil. I'm Nick Shepkowski in for Danny Parkins today. Bears report to Bourbonnais. And finally, football fans rejoice. They get to put on the shoulder pads and helmet and kind of hit each other here in the coming days. The good news that I thought came from the press conference, and trust me, I've been around here not nearly as long as you. I've been around long enough to realize I don't take a whole lot of stock in what comes out of a general manager's mouth during the preseason meeting of the media and any of that. But what I did take away was, and it's significant, it's sad that it's this significant, but with the Bears, injury-wise, they are actually healthy. Kyle Long is a full go. Allen Robinson, the prized free agent signing, is a full go. Now, is he going to be 100%? We know that most professional athletes, any athlete for at any level, it's not usually your 100% 9 months after, 10 months after tearing an ACL. But he is going to have his full release, and he's going to be participating in practice from day one. And I thought that's good news, because as sad and pathetic as it is, that has not been the case for really any time during Ryan Pace's run as a Bears general manager.
You're right. And I when Allen Robinson told us that the day after he signed here, he's going to be ready for camp, I'm thinking that's optimistic on his part. I want guys to think that way. That tells you they're working hard, or they wouldn't make such bold prognostications. Sure. So, but it surprised me that he's ready to go, because a knee is a bit. They're probably not going to work him. He's got a knee. You know, he signed with the Bears. Wanny, you know, flying around. I'm optimistic about him. I know everybody's in love with Trey Burton, and Trey Burton might be a fine acquisition, maybe even more than that. Maybe he'll be a great player.
Great?
I said maybe.
Maybe? Like, do you have any expectation for him to be anywhere near great? I think he's going to be fun player.
I do with Allen Robinson. I expect him to be great. I expect names like Harlan Hill and Ken Kavanaugh and the Pro Bowler, who we talked about the other day. The guy Murph asked about being on the side circuit.
What
Harlan
guy was
Hill.
Oh, Harlan Hill.
Yeah. I expect those names by the time I visit Andre Dawson, Sourpuss Crematory, and get my asses scattered, that all those names will be off the list of the Bears' top 15 career wide receivers. So we need Allen Robinson and guys like that to erase those guys from the leather chin strap era.
Where are you at right now? Like, excitement for Bears camp. Because the last couple of years, John Fox's first year, I was excited. Okay, it's a coaching change. You have a guy that's taken a couple teams to the Super Bowl. Seems like this is a real football guy. This is going to be, this might turn the Bears around. And that was disastrous from the word go, and it never really seemed like it got better. Does the coaching change? I mean, it's the quarterback last year. Okay, Trubisky, something here. But is it the coaching change? Because me, it's infinitely more than it was a season ago.
It is, but I think we don't have to look too far in the rearview mirror to be reminded that change for the sake of change doesn't always mean good things. I'm optimistic, but I'm tempering some of that optimism for the Bears, because for the Bears.
Bears.
Wani, I guess I like Wani all day. Because of things that we didn't. Well, we talked about them, but now they're sinking in, because we've been absorbing every word Matt Nagy says, and we like what we hear for them. At least I have. I don't know if you feel similarly, but I like what I've heard from him. He's talking, saying the right things, but what that means, I don't know. We're talking about a guy who has called games in the NFL for all of 24 quarters, six games, and his last two weren't good. Now, I think people point to that too regularly, and shame on me for just doing it. That was, you know, in the heat of battle, and maybe he'd do it differently. Well, maybe that's good
if
he learned.
I mean, that's kind of what he's going to be up against.
Right. Well, you got to learn those things. You got to go through some battles, and he's going to make more mistakes. He's going to make a ton of mistakes. And I raised questions at the time about the offensive coordinator, Mark Helfrich, who has yet to be on an NFL sideline. This training camp, this week, he's walking an NFL sideline for the first time in his life.
Yeah, that's
scary to me.
It is. And he's a very innovative offensive mind, comes from the Chip Kelly tree in his days at Oregon, and obviously had great success, helped make a Heisman Trophy winner at the college level. But that's at the college level. I mean, how many times have, not even from, we always look at the head coaches, that it doesn't mean you're going to be good in the NFL, and you can name a ton of them that have gone from the college ranks to the pro ranks, and it's ended horribly. But, I mean, that's just in a coordinator position there. So I'm curious how much of a difference that really is going to make when you have, all right, a lot of the stock being bought in Helfers. Well, it should be. Yes, it's an interesting guy. His offenses were fun to watch in the levels we've seen him. It only gets bigger and better against him, though, when you get to the NFL.
Right, and he's going to be doing everything his boss tells him to do.
Sure.
He's offensive coordinator by business card only. You know, the head coach is going to be calling everything, and he's going to be designing everything. I'm sure he'll take Helfrich's input. But I'm guardedly optimistic about the Bears. It's a bitch of a division for them. That's the thing that really keeps you from getting too excited, is there are three teams that are going into the year markedly better than the Bears are. The Bears, by head and shoulders, the Vikings, the Packers, and the Lions.
You have
are
the Lions
for,
that yes, much better
yes,
still?
That's because of nine. Yeah.
Because of Matt Stafford?
Yeah, Matthew Stafford. He hasn't, you know, he hasn't won in the playoffs, but...
That's versus a quarterback in Trubisky that you don't know what he is.
Right.
There's a lot of, oh, buy Trubisky, and that's great. I'm not going to tell people, don't get excited about it. It's a second overall pick in a draft. He's supposed to be a superstar simply by being the second overall pick in a draft and the first quarterback that was taken. But I didn't see a whole lot last year. I was like, yep, this guy is no doubt. That's your game breaker. That's going to be your game changer. No doubt at the highest of high levels in professional football. Like, yes, there's hope, but I don't know if it's necessarily anything I saw that I'm like, yep, that guy's guaranteed to be one of the top five, top seven QBs in the league.
I feel very similarly. I think you'd be lucky to get him in the top half in the league this year. I think that's you know, something that he has to shoot for that's a long way away from where he is right now.
Well, and because he didn't run a real NFL offense a year ago. It was, you mentioned the Carolina game all the time. Oh, throw seven times. I just think that this is going to be... I know the USA Today came out with their predictions for the whole league today, and that was going around the internet because USA Today said it. The Bears are going to be 7-9. I'm like, okay, 7-9 I would be probably okay with. That's quite the step in the right direction versus where they've been the last few years. But then you get to thinking, and it's with Trubisky, I have a feeling this thing's going to be pretty damn ugly at the start of the year. Because you have a quarterback only in his second year of NFL play, mm-hmm. his first year in this system.
Mm-hmm.
So all of that, I mean...
The offensive line is new.
Offensive line new, and I don't think
receivers
really
are new.
That good. New receivers to work with, all of that. And you have a defense that doesn't appear like it's going to get to after opposing quarterbacks with any regularity. It seems like you have a secondary of nice players. I don't know about how many playmakers there are back there on any of that. So I still have a ton of questions of this, of like them even challenging 500.
Yeah, 7-9 would be, see, you say it's a good year. I'm reluctant to go
based off of
that,
what you just said on the division.
Yeah,
I mean, if
I know.
They're noticeably worse on paper, right, talent wise than three teams in their division, they're 6 of your 10 games.
See, just say 7-9. Yeah, I'd say, okay, you take that and it's steps. But here's why I don't like to do it. I'd have to know how they get to 9. How they got to 13 last year. The first one of those 13 losses was an unacceptable loss. I don't care if you were an underdog against the defending conference champion Falcons. You should have won the game. So it's tough for me to say, 7-9 when I don't know how they get to the 9. You know what I'm saying? The standard changes during the course of an event. When you blow football games because you're throwing the ball to a running back who has breadboards instead of hands,
sure,
trying to catch the hoochie, that's bad.
Yeah, 5-11 last year, 3-13 is what you're thinking 2 years ago.
Okay, I'm sorry.
So still, 5-11.
Sorry.
They won what?
Okay,
one game, right, against NFC teams in 12 tries,
yeah,
was it?
I don't want to deny the Bears their wins over Baltimore and they beat
Cincinnati,
the Bengals on the,
yeah,
road
beat
too.
Up a Bengals team that was,
oh,
beat to,
boy,
all hell.
Give them that. In fact, they beat the Steelers too, and they crushed the AFC.
Hey,
North
AFC
last
North
year.
Champs. They didn't get a playoff game out of it, but they can raise that banner at Soldier Field. AFC North champions,
right,
for 2017. This segment brought to you by Orkin. Every home is unique. That's why Orkin relies on the latest science to get rid of pests. Visit Orkin.com today. Orkin pest control down to a science.
Texter saying Trubisky will be a bigger bust than Moncada.
It's a little early on the Moncada thing, isn't it?
I'm not calling him a bust yet. I'm not overwhelmed.
Yeah.
I don't know anyone who is.
Started swinging pretty hot bat there the last 2 weeks, I thought, before the All-Star game, playing considerably better. I don't know if it means he's going to be like superstar,
all right,
but I think it's...
One of the things I love about the dynamic of today's show is for the first time in 4 months, Sox fans are more dominant than Cubs fans in our studio. Shane Reardon is shaking his head in disgust for some reason.
He's had 140 major league at bats.
That's why,
exactly,
I said I'm not ready to
quiet down.
Oh, why,
okay,
are people texting this garbage? Put your phones away. You're not responsible enough to text. Put your phones away.
In case you were wondering, for your stat of 140 at bats, he has actually had 562.
Yeah, whatever. I never claimed to be a numbers guy.
Yeah.
Boy, that's taking Ish to a new level.
I mean, it's the Ish show, but that's the Ish show, right? Three times as much. So
okay,
I don't.
Well, I meant
you
so
meant
much
games.
Work there, Shane. Yeah, I meant games.
Okay.
I meant games. Or right. At bats in combined Aprils or something. I don't know. Pick whatever narrative you want to support my numbers.
That's what numbers people do.
That's right.
It happens all the time here.
Exactly. You're 100% right when you say that, Shane. Should be following Shane's Instagram feed. I don't know if you're on Instagram.
I'm on it,
you
but
should
I never
be.
Look at it.
You should, and you should follow Shane just for his little Q&A sessions that he has on his story. On a not every night. Not a nightly basis, but usually about once a week he'll go through those and he will tell people his thoughts on how you marinate in a steak. 312-644-6767, the telephone number to call. Some Bears discussion as they open up training camp. Mark Grody joins us 40 minutes from now with his first Bears report of the year. It's Nick Schepkowski in for Danny Parkins with Danny Mack on 670 The Score. Welcome back in. It's the McNeil and Parkins Show, 670 The Score. Nick Schepkowski sitting in for Danny Parkins this afternoon. This segment being brought to you by Northwestern Football. The Wildcats, coming off a 10-win season, host Michigan, Nebraska, Wisconsin, Notre Dame, and more this fall at Ryan Field. Season and single-game tickets on sale now, NUSports.com.
Anytime you want to get to us via text message, 670-11 is all you need to punch in. This one came in from the 847 just a couple minutes ago, and I like it. A little too early to call both Moncada and Trubisky busts. I, however, would love for Mitch to stop trying so hard to always not say the wrong thing. I agree wholeheartedly. I have some concerns about Mitch Trubisky, not the quarterback, the man. He doesn't exude a lot of confidence to me. And your quarterback needs to be an arrogant, self-reliant SOB. He's got to be.
What specifically, I guess? Just in the way he handles himself in a press conference?
That's a lot of it. That's a lot of it. He the caller's right. And again, it's if he comports himself differently around his teammates, okay. But I think when you see a pattern, and it's been consistent with him, after tough games in particular, he looks scared. He looks sheepish, and maybe that's a product of being inexperienced. He didn't even have much experience at it at the college level. North Carolina, where football right. is, you know, helping to make America better.
That should be a guy. Well, that's what the problem with Trubisky is then. He's not having that confidence because he shouldn't be quarterbacking the Bears. Obviously, based off what his college football coach said earlier this week, he's a guy that should be, like, leading the army on whatever battle they may be leading going into. Like, that's what makes the army and military and everything in this country great is the football that apparently goes on at Chapel Hill at North Carolina University.
I got to find my Tar Heels football. It was a sweatshirt, and then I got deck stain on the sleeve, so I had to cut the sleeves off of it. So it's
also,
a tank
it's a
top.
Sleeveless sweatshirt.
Yeah, which I ain't got the bod for it right now like I had in 97, so I'll just wear it like when I'm, you know, cleaning the pool or something like that. I won't wear it publicly.
You have to post a picture of it if you do.
Yeah.
We have to see Max guns a-blazing left and right arms.
I forgot the sleeves are missing. I guess even if I locate that sucker, it's unusable.
You probably threw it away then.
I might have, but I loved it. You know why I loved the 97 North Carolina football team?
I'm trying to think of one North Carolina player from 1997. I can give you...
Oh, goodness, Shep. There
God.
Were six.
Mac Brown was coaching
that
at
was
that
Mac
point.
Brown's
That's what
final
got him
year.
The that yeah. got him the Texas job.
You're right. And he was succeeded
off the top
by
of my head.
Who followed him at North Carolina?
At North Carolina?
Yeah. This is where this is a kind of trivia question that separates men from the boys.
Yeah, this is, I guess I'm a boy because I can get you back to Butch Davis and Larry Fedora.
God, you're good.
But I don't know the gap in between. The space between.
Carl Torbush.
Oh, wow.
Carl Torbush.
See, if Terry was here, he could offer you something that
I
can't
give
you on that.
And Terry and I interviewed Carl Torbush.
Why did you interview Kyle Torbush?
Carl, because he was playing in a bowl game, and we found him in his hotel room, and I still had this. They had a bunch of pro prospects on that team.
Oh, still a
the
year later?
The 97 team had a bunch of them who came into the NFL. You've heard of Dre Bly.
Yes.
Pro Bowl cornerback
sure.
for many years. Most of them with the Rams, I believe.
Sounds right.
Greg Ellis, pass rusher sure. for the Cowboys.
Who else was on that North Carolina team?
I remember them being...
They had a running back who went in the NFL, too. Was played Jonathan Linton, who played for okay. both the Bills and the Falcons.
And it was purely the 97 Tar Heels that got you sold on getting a North Carolina football shirt.
ATS. They covered over and over and over. Don't you have those teams that you loved because you seem to be able
to rely on it?
And it now violates my Ten Commandments of football wagering. But it is so hard not to keep going to the well when somebody just keeps punching cash in.
2007 Oregon Ducks, baby.
Yeah.
I mean, that team was, and when Dennis Dixon got hurt probably two-thirds of the way throughout the year, I think it was a Thursday night at Arizona watching that game, and just like, I had Oregon big that night because Oregon had won big night after night after night after night all year long.
So you had Oregon where?
Had Oregon... for them, and then I became an Oregon Ducks fan for the 07 season because that was a very profitable team. And then they, once Dixon got hurt, they were done for. They were over with. So I bet against them heavy in the, I believe it was the Sun Bowl against South Florida, where they trounced South Florida. So they, all my winnings at the start of the year had been given back and then some by the conclusion of that Sun Bowl.
The 0-2 Iowa Hawkeyes.
Fred Russell action for
Freddie
you.
Russell, the one-eyed muscle. Yeah, he got the job done. Good old number two. They were a team that covered the spread almost every week. Early in the year, they got tripped up by Iowa State, and I had Iowa State that day, went the other way. But I think I bet them 10 times that year, and they covered all 10 times. Then they got crushed by Carson Palmer. But enough of the way back machine. We're talking about the Bears quarterback, Mitch Trubisky, and whether he lacks... I don't know. This Joe Montana didn't have an it factor when you heard him talk either.
Well, the guy had nothing to say about anything. Joe, what color is the sky? It might be blue. I don't really know.
Yeah, I don't remember. I'm trying to remember how Montana comported himself when he was being asked questions by large groups. Mitch seems, the texter who got this conversation started, though, is right. He seems like he is consistently wanting to placate everybody. And Parkins recently told a story where Trubisky was uncomfortable with a recorded interview running as is because he chose LeBron James over Michael Jordan as his favorite player because he's from Cleveland and obviously likes LeBron for that. And then he goes, oh, my God, in Chicago, maybe you have to air that part. Like, come on, what do you care?
You're 23. You probably saw Jordan as a wizard, and your recollection of him is nothing of what LeBron is. It's fine. Who gives a damn who Mitch Trubisky thinks is a better basketball player in their heyday? Yeah, I thought of that when you mentioned it. I also thought back, though, and I guess I don't buy as much of like when a quarterback's in front of the media because hey, Jay Cutler was a guy that was, say what you want about him, he was confident in himself, and that drove me crazy to a degree. Throws four interceptions against the Redskins one day, get all to D'Angelo Hall, and his thought was, oh, I do it all again. That's the guy I'm targeting again. Well, moron, you're the guy that threw four picks and why you lost today, so maybe you shouldn't do it again. But that's an example of a guy having plenty of confidence in himself. I remembered this from last year, Packers week, I think the second time they played, and it was during the conference call. Josh Sitton was on with the Green Bay media leading up to the second Green Bay game, and they asked him about the demeanor Mitch Trubisky carried in a huddle. And he said, told a story of, we started to break a huddle early, and he said, get the F back in the huddle, don't break it until I break it. Kind of cussed us out, all of us linemen. And I was like, you know what? I respect the hell out of that guy. And that's just one that Josh Sitton, for a rookie quarterback, I'm sure is not the easiest of sorts to look at and take that kind of leadership role of oh, there's a lineman that's been in the league for 10 years or whatever Sitton's been in. I'm going to take a stance against him. Like, that's probably not the easiest thing to do. And I think that speaks more to me than anything he's going to say to a radio reporter or
anything I'm going to say, frankly, anything, many observations I would have. Obviously, it's more important what his teammates think of him. I'm just hoping the same guy we see when he's acting sheepish, if I can go that far, I don't know if sheepish is accurate, just not comfortable. And I don't know. We'll see.
I don't know.
I hope he proves me wrong. And again, this is not about him as a player. Nobody knows. And people can tell you they think they know if he's going to be really good, or they can say, oh, no, he doesn't have. They don't know. We don't have enough of work to make an opinion that's educated. He's played in 12 NFL games. And in one of them, they only let him throw the ball 7 times.
But they did win that game.
Did anybody else win? I wonder if any other team in the league last year won a game by throwing fewer than 7 times. Now, I doubt it.
That sounds like something you'd read from a box score from 1957.
Exactly.
Like that doesn't sound like anything modern football-wise whatsoever.
I know. Bob Greasy's numbers in when he won a Super Bowl MVP. Did he win a Super Bowl MVP?
I think so. Against the Redskins, the year they went unbeaten.
Zonka didn't
they?
Get that one.
Oh, maybe he did. Yeah. I thought.
Well, two of the guys. They the first time the award was shared was Jake Scott, the two safeties, Jake Scott and Dick Anderson, I thought shared one. And Zonko won one when he rushed for 145 yards.
Oh, you are right. Super Bowl 7 went to Jake Scott, 8 went to Larry Zonka. I swear I thought that. Guess I got that part wrong.
Good. They voted properly then because his numbers didn't merit it, even though he wound up in Canton.
Turn around and hand the ball off.
He was like 8 for 11.
November 13th, 2011, Tim Tebow beat the Chiefs with the Broncos 17-10. He went 2 for 8 for 69 yards. Nice, and a touchdown.
Wow. So that's how far back we've got to go for a winner with 8.
So he dumped off a pass to Demaryius Thomas. Demaryius Thomas ran a long way, and that was enough to get a win.
Well, guys, if you remember, I think we evoked the name of Todd Collins a couple times last year, going back to his start in 2010.
Against the Panthers, right?
Yeah. Right. He was 6 for 16 with 4 picks. That was one of those, just give the ball to Matt Forte. Okay.
Give the ball to Matt Forte. That was also the best play that Julius Peppers made as a Bear when he batted the ball from, I think, Jimmy Clausen
in the air, right.
And made some ridiculously athletic somersault-type move to make the interception on the same play. 312-644-6767. Concerned at all of the confidence in the quarterback of Mitch Trubisky, how he carries himself. Midlothian Ed, you're next up on 670 The Score. What's up, Ed?
Yeah, what I saw is now, when I saw him coming out of huddles, going into huddles and that, I saw a guy that looked like he'd been there a few years, directing traffic, knew where he wanted to put everybody. But in press conference, it was like, okay, I got to be careful not to offend the coaching staff. But, you know, he's like, give me the ball. I want to turn this loose. But it's like he didn't want to offend the staff. You know, I mean, he didn't want to say, hey, I'm just a rookie, so I'm going to cater to you. But
I'd appreciate the call. I see that.
Thought he was
being
breaking into fridge from the Super Bowl shuffle there for a second. I'm just a rookie.
But I'm no dumb cookie. Isn't that kind of the product of like today's modern athlete, though? Of you're trained from probably the day he first stepped foot on campus in North Carolina, media training. Say it's like the Bull Durham part where Kevin Costner saying, okay, lots of just speaking cliches and everything. Don't bury a teammate. Don't bury a coaching staff.
There's a lot of emphasis
placed
on
that now.
Well, coaches certainly have to be more aware of it and talk to their players about it because of the trouble guys get into by posting things.
Well, I'm just talking about just even media training of just going and addressing a pool of 12 or 15 reporters after a game.
Yeah, I don't know what his background was at North Carolina in terms of what his coaches asked of him, but today's athlete, I suppose coaches are more in tune to it and asking people to be careful about it. But when it comes to something as simple as stating who you prefer in the debate, the really deep watered debate of who was better, Jordan or LeBron James, choosing LeBron James and then asking for a retraction, come on, man. That's taking it too far.
If I ever host a show and that comes up as an actual conversation piece, just kick me in the nuts and tell me to retire.
Why?
Because I never want to have the Jordan-LeBron argument.
But some people, I don't care for it either, Shep.
No, I never want to do it. There's some bridges I will not cross. There's some things
I'll
I will
get you
just
there.
Not
if we
do
enough of these, I'll get you there at some point.
Yeah, I'm sure you will. Yeah, right.
I'll try anyway.
Keep trying. This segment brought to you by Spot Hero. And finally, here's a way you can save time parking. Use Spot Hero anytime you park. First-time users can enter promo code SMART for $10 off. Spot Hero. Park smarter. 312-644-6767, the telephone number.
Nice
call.
And crisp, buddy.
Yeah,
I like that. Good huddle break.
I don't know about crisp so much on the end delivery there.
Hey, Spot Hero just called. They're super happy with you.
I'm sure they are. getting all this extra free love. Larry Fedora is making this country great again, and it's all because of something he's doing on the gridiron. We'll share that with you next on 670 The Score.
What is it that makes our country, our military, superior to every other military in the world? He said, he was like, that's easy. We're the only football-playing nation in the world.
That's Larry Fedora, if you're not familiar with him, head coach at North Carolina, the college head coach of one Mitchell Trubisky. Welcome back in. Nick Szepkowski, Danny Mack with you. McNeil and Parkins Show. I'm in for Danny Parkins. Still vacationing. He'll be back on Monday. And that's not all the North Carolina head coach had to say about what football does and why it makes our country ever so great.
This guy's amazing.
Is this just...
He is something else. I heard this yesterday, meant to get to it, and forgot. We kind of had 15 pounds of stuff to slam into a 10-pound bag. Yeah, he believes people who play football are among the greatest, are the greatest human beings who've ever roamed the earth.
Yeah, he goes even deeper than that. This is about a minute and a half or so condensed version of what Larry Fedora has to say about the greatest game of football.
The game is better than it's ever been, and I believe the game's under attack right now. I really do. And if we're not careful, you know, we're going to lose what the game is all about.
Who do you think is, to use your word, attacking the game?
Well.
Blaming us?
No, I'm not blaming you. I'm not blaming anybody. I blame a groundswell of
research,
data that is... tweaked one way or the other, because I can take the data and I can make it look one way, you can take the data and make it look another way, and whoever's presenting it is the one that gets to say so. And are there some things that are negative about the game? Yeah, there's no doubt about that. But again, I think as you look over time, I can tell you just in my lifetime, from when I played the game early on to where we are today, here's a huge difference in the way the game is played and the way athletes are taken care of.
You said the game's under attack. Is there anything you fear might happen?
Oh yes, I fear that the game will get pushed so far to one extreme that you won't recognize the game 10 years from now. That's what I worry about. And I do believe that if it gets to that point, that our country goes down too.
What's the one kind of, I guess, primal, what's the one thing that cannot go away in your mind? Is it, you're worried about losing contact as an element of the game?
Well, if we go to touch football, the game's definitely changed, and the game will not be as physical, the game will not be as tough as it is, you know. A few years back, I had an opportunity to ask a three-star general, you know, what I had a question for him. I said, what is it that makes our country, our military, superior to every other military in the world? He was like, that's easy. We're the only football-playing nation in the world. You know, and he said, most of all of our troops have grown up, have played the game at some point in their life, at some level. And the lessons that they learn from that game is what makes us who we are.
How is it different than rugby?
I don't know rugby, so I couldn't tell you that. I just know that
I don't know OB.
But I don't. I apologize. I just don't know the game.
If football were to go to one super extreme, how would it change America? How would that
happen? I think, I don't know the real answer to that. I just think that. I think we will lose a lot as a nation. I think we'll lose a lot because I think what the game teaches, I think we'll lose so much of that. I really do. I think that's one of the things that makes us such a great nation.
I'm sure that's why Dwight Eisenhower was so pivotal in World War II. Same thing with General Patton, MacArthur as well, because they were huge football goers and supporters and football players back in the day. That's what built the military back in the 30s and 40s, I'm sure, too.
I watched a little bit of Top Gun today. Those military flyers, pilots never said a thing about football. How did Iceman and Goose and Maverick miss out on that?
Maybe they don't get into Goose. Goose, but maybe that's why the guy that panics at the very start of the film that Goose helps guide home.
Yes.
Maybe that's why he didn't have football in his background, and that's why he couldn't land the plane himself.
Cougar, yes.
Cougar's the one it was.
Cougar play. God, I retained it because I didn't like it, and I'm trying to learn it for you guys for Parkins. That's why I'm
for
watching.
For Top Gun, you're trying to aim yourself to get the Parkins?
You guys quote it all the time, and I don't know it, so I'm trying to learn it. I'm a team guy. But,
you could be my wingman anytime, Mac.
I appreciate that. I got a lot out of high school football.
So did I.
There were other things I could have done probably to get
could have joined
some
the military,
of those
apparently.
Lessons.
You would have been good to go.
That's one way. That certainly is one way. Our game is under attack. Your game's under investigation for research that tends to lead people who are qualified, like scientists, medical people, that it leads to bad things. Mm-hmm. That's why it's being investigated. Boy.
Yeah,
that's something else.
It's just that's why the military's strong, because we are a football-playing country, and no one else in the world can say that. That segment and audio brought to you by Erin Hills Golf Course in southeast Wisconsin. Championship golf on a landscape shaped by glaciers. It's your favorite one.
I love glacier-shaped courses. There's so few of them.
For a different experience, make Erin Hills your next golf destination. Play, stay, eat, and meet at the site of the 2017 U.S. Open. Business or pleasure, erinhills.com, erinhills.com. Mark Grody's first Bears report from Bourbonnais next on 670 The Score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.